Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Nazarita Goldhammer, Kevin Boilo, your host at Epis Radio. We are just finishing our eighth season, our eighth full year, and we'll be entering our ninth radio show year and right around Christmas time, the 25th of December. We are sponsored by the new Earth Science Design and Plant Science Design Institutes. We're also sponsored by the Existential Psychoanalytic Institute and Society and the BCS Mediation Firm International, which is solving disagreements and conflicts with regard to climate change, animal rights, water and land issues, even as we speak. The title of the show is Re-envisioning Humanity's Relationship to the Earth. And we thought that for today we would do something fun, a little more fun, and talk about food. People often want to know what they can do to help out the current situation. And what we've learned is that corporations are cold, neutral, money-grubbing, money-hogging, capitalist machines who have absolutely no other purpose than to make money. And that means what's happening is that corporations, the bigger the corporation, the worse they do this. They suck all of the money and the resources out of third world countries, process them, and send them back consumers through various supply chains. And so what's happened is that we've annihilated local economies, and we have prioritized global economies. And so you see chains like Costco and Walmart. Those are the two of the biggest offenders in the whole world. And the reason that they attract people is because they can offer a discount. But that doesn't mean that what they're selling or that their supply chains are moral or sustainable. And so don't be tempted by that. You know, getting that little deal on your food may have a huge price that somebody else is paying. And so part of what we're coming to learn, which we're dialoguing with you about, and what we're doing at the Earth Science Institute, is to understand how the whole operates together. Now, if you haven't bought our book, Viva Autonomy, A Transhumanist Phenomenology of the Self, get it today. It's on Amazon.com. It's cheap. It's a philosophical book that lays out a blueprint for a change in the human experience, change in the human anthropology, so that we can see ourselves in new ways, where we don't see ourselves as dominating and colonizing and ruling the planet, which is a very Christian notion. Any faith that is Christian has this embedded within its history and its value system. And that's why the largest Christian churches are having a big problem now, because they're forced to face the truth about the annihilation and the exploitation. So just being Christian doesn't make you a good person. In fact, now, if you're not a new kind of Christian, it makes you the devil. It makes you evil, and it makes you one of the enemies. And I know I'm speaking strongly, but the fact is we are in a crisis situation. If we don't all get up on board, it's going to be too late. So food is great. We have been duped, completely deceived by the dairy industry and by the meat industry. And we've been trained into it from the time we were old enough to have language. When children go to school, they're taught that it's moral, it's morally justifiable, that it's healthy to eat meat and to eat dairy. And fortunately, so much research has come out lately, really good, high-quality research from all quarters of the planet, from major public universities to private elite universities, to well-funded research institutes, all over the world, and we're finding that eating meat and dairy will kill you. It will make you fat. It will make you lazy. It will ruin your brain. And all of the things that come from eating hormones and not eating enough vegetables. So my own suggestion to everyone, my own personal guideline is that 85 to 90% of your meals that you eat throughout a day should be vegetables, preferably green leafy vegetables. And, of course, this comes with various supplements. It comes with grains, some grains, legumes, and other items that are important. But for the sake of this discussion, we're focusing on fruit and vegetables. If you want to reduce your risk of heart disease, your risk of stroke, your risk of cardiovascular disease, which is, you know, that includes the lungs, your risk of cancer, and a risk of dying younger, then you would want to eat 8 to 12 portions of vegetables every day. Now, that might seem overwhelming to some, but it's actually not. If you look at your eating cycle from, you know, say 7 a.m. till 5 p.m., that's 10 hours. And you can do it. You know, you can have two or three meals that are massive in terms of plants and vegetables and fruits. And you can do it. You can actually do it. And the way to do it is to stop eating meat and dairy, because what they do is they fill you up with really unhealthy food calories. So, and I want to just dispel a myth right here, right now. You get plenty of protein from eating vegetables. It is an absolute lie, and it's a falsehood that the meat industry perpetrates on people, scaring them into eating meat to get enough protein. It's just false. It is another falsehood that they're no better than the tobacco industry, if you really want to know the truth. Tobacco, meat, and dairy, they're all, you should lump them together, because they'll kill you, and they're killing this planet. So what we want to do, since more and more people are all up in arms about SARS viruses presencing in the earth, by the way, there will be more. Again, mark my words, and I'll eat my words if I'm wrong, but my prediction is that within 5 years we're going to see many more viruses, far worse than the little COVID-19. So what we want to do is we want to boost our immune system. That's something you can do, whoever you are. You can boost your immune system by eating right. And eating right means plants, vegetables, fruits. You can make your blood pressure more in the healthy zone. And you can do this all on your own. You don't need any pill. You don't need a nutritionist. You don't need an MD, for God's sakes. By the way, MDs are not trained in nutrition. Now, that hopefully will change. But most MDs know nothing about nutrition. That's not what their training is. So we would make a mistake to link those two together. So if we were to completely re-envision our relationship to the earth, I'll just throw some ideas out and then pass the microphone to Nazarita. This is really fun for me. You know, we have to get out of the mindset of buying groceries once every week or two and buying massive amounts of groceries that last us. People end up buying more processed foods than they should have, stocking their pantry, stocking their freezer, stocking their refrigerator. You know, you should be going to the store at least two times a week, if not four. And the reason for that is that your relationship to food will change. You go to the store with a happy face, you get there, you buy these wonderful items in your produce section, you take them home, you look at the beautiful color, you touch them, you clean them, and you start preparing them for the week or the next 3 or 4 days, whatever your cycle is. And so it means getting away from what's easy We've taken the whole idea of convenience way too far. We should be preparing our foods from scratch every day. And there's no reason you can't do a lot of weekly preparation on a Sunday or Saturday so that you have what I call, in my parlance, a vegan kitchen. And that means you have massive amounts of plants, vegetables, and the rest of it, so that you can make a detox juice, so that you can make a matcha latte, so that you can make a green tea, which is good for your liver, so you can make any kind of smoothie that your heart desires, so that you can make granola or oats, cereal, a chia bowl, a veggie scramble, a breakfast burrito, healthy protein-loaded pancakes, so that you can have a salad, a super healthy salad with, you put at least 10 items in a salad, okay? That's my rule, the 10-plus rule. You put at least 10 items in your salad, and then you get the best possible salad dressing that you can make, and you should be making them from scratch. Soups, all kinds of lentil soups, butternut soups, cauliflower soups, miso noodle, green Thai. You get my point here. And then you have tons and tons of main dishes. Everybody likes portobello tacos, kitchery, Thai bowls, ginger rice bowls. I'm getting hungry just saying this, just talking about it. I cook with mushrooms now almost all the time, shiitakes, portobellos, and lion's mane, which is the queen and the king of all mushrooms so far. You can make your own dressing. Make dressing and put it in your refrigerator. And my personal guidance is to stay away from desserts. Unless you are super thin, and you know what I mean. If you are super thin, that's different. But unless you're super thin, you should really be careful with desserts. That doesn't mean, you know, a complete abstention unless you're an addict. But it means being really careful because those calories, a dessert calorie is not as healthy as a salad calorie, right? Or as a, you know, a veggie scramble calorie. They're just not. And you can make these decisions. So my point is buy local, buy from farmers markets, support your farmers. Go out and spend a bundle. Bring lots of cash. Because the more that you can support your local farmers and even regional farmers, the more that they can produce. Local foods, foods that come right out of the land. Nazarita will talk to you about place and space and the sensuousness of the land and how there is a cycle, right? A cycle where there is no garbage, a cycle where there is no refuse, a cycle where we're constantly paying it forward. We're pushing it forward. We want to pay the farmers to grow the organic foods so that we can eat the organic foods and we can become smarter and stronger in our own work, whatever that is. We want to absolutely turn off the money tap to all dairy. All dairy is bad. It's evil. It's wrong. It's immoral. It in no way supports empathy or compassion. If you're a person who believes that you're empathetic or compassionate or merciful, you would never eat dairy, ever. Or you're a liar. Or you're not that smart and you're logically inconsistent. You have to stop eating dairy. Number two, you have to stop eating all meat. And that means fish. Fish is meat. Chicken is meat. You have to just stop. You have to say, no, I am not going to participate in the mass slaughter. I think it's like 150 million animals we slaughter every week now in the world. Every week. These are animals with intentionalities, nervous systems, families, love bonds between a mother and a baby, between mates, between social groups. And they have feelings just like us and just like marine animals do. So every time you eat meat or dairy, you are complicit in extreme violence and abuse. There is no nonviolent way to slaughter. Slaughter means slaughter. It means to violently kill a sentient being who has emotions, a life, eyes and ears, feelings, and it's an ideology that has to go. This is a negative dialectic. It is wrong continuing to eat up the Amazon. If you're concerned about climate change, you would never support meat or dairy, because we're right now taking away the Amazon rainforest, and we're never going to be able to reproduce them, not in the next 1,000 generations. They will be gone, and we will have to live without it. Other than the ocean, it's the single most important regulating system in the planet. So think about all these lovely foods. Think about increasing your food budget. Love yourself. Love yourself. Treat yourself to the best possible foods. Plant foods. They will change your life. They will make you a nicer person. And you just have to refuse. I personally will not sit at a table where somebody else is eating meat or dairy. I won't do it. And that's not being mean. And it's not about me trying to dominate somebody's lifestyle. It's me being a leader in change and taking the risk. Being a leader, don't being a follower. And having the conversation. Because if we don't have those uncomfortable conversations, my best male friend in the world just wrote a brilliant book about New York Times bestsellers list about having difficult conversations. You can have them. You can have those conversations. But you have to do it. You have to stand up. You know, if you're a religious person, your God would want you to do that. If you're a spiritual person, your inner soul would want you to do that. So, Nazarita, let's talk about food. Let's talk about the lovely kitchen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Plant-based diet is really the way to go if you're concerned about your health. If you're concerned about your children's health or people close to you, if you're concerned about animals, if you're concerned about climate change, all of those areas point straight toward a plant-based diet. Plus, all the chemicals and herbicides, pharmaceuticals that you get that are in farm-raised meat, dairy, butter, you know, cottage cheese, sour cream, and fish, all of them contain herbicides, pesticides, even if they try to not contain them. So the big deal, a lot of people think, you know, we're eating grass-fed cows, because as you know, cows eat grass. Like they don't usually eat other things. They eat grass. So I think it's really funny that in this day and age that the big selling point of pure, what someone calls pure beef, is that they are grass-fed, which is like saying, you know, they're eating their natural diet. Isn't that nice? As opposed to things that we force down their throat. But as you say, you know, they are sentient beings. Everything that we choose to eat that is not a plant is a sentient being. And I remember a teacher, I think it was Eknash Eshwaran, he said he doesn't eat anything with eyes. And I always thought that was a great way to put it. It's like when you look into the eyes of a sentient other, you can tell they of course feel pain. They feel happiness. If you've ever seen a baby calf released from its misery and out onto an open grass, it just kicks and runs and is totally enjoying their freedom from slaughter. And I follow Sky Dog Sanctuary, which has horses. They rescue horses from the kill pen, which I think is just an amazing part of their work. And they rescue them from actually being sold as meat, you know, to other countries. That horses that have run races and won are now sold as meat to other countries, which is so appalling that I think that we forget underneath all of these connections that are so detrimental to our health, our well-being, and the world's health and well-being, and our ecosystem's health and well-being, the air that we breathe. So fun facts, which of course you went over, if someone embraced a plant-based diet, they would have a, just for their own health, a 50% reduction in high blood pressure. And of course, this does not take the advice of whoever you feel is competent to diagnose your health. But they've seen a great scientific study, 50% reduction in high blood pressure. It can reverse and prevent heart disease. All you have to do is look at Dean Ornish's book, which has been around for over 20 years, Reversing Heart Disease, improve cholesterol, improve your gut health, improve type 2 diabetes, improve everything about our bodies. This is a critical point that we look at. If everything in our body works better with a plant-based diet, that should actually be enough for everybody to say, wow, maybe our bodies aren't meant to have meat and dairy and fish. Maybe they're not meant to do that. If it causes disease, high blood pressure, heart decline. So if you look at those, you have to ask yourself, why are we not choosing that which is better for us? And of course, the planet itself. If everybody went to a plant-based diet, we would eliminate like 50% of the emissions that are harming our air and water. And that's a pretty big step. That means that there isn't a big company that has to take action, that we have to take action. So I think food is pretty amazing. Food as medicine. Isn't that what they say? Food is medicine. And believe it or not, things like celery used to be considered a medicine. It used to be considered a medicine in times past. A lot of food was considered that when it was really hard to get those foods. So I think it's very fun, and I think that you can make it. It is not a hardship. And a while ago when I first was embracing, totally giving up dairy and meat and fish, what I did was I did the chewing test. And what I did was I chewed a carrot like 50 times in my mouth, masticated, and it still tasted like carrot at the end of those chews. Then I took a piece of a fish and meat, and they tasted like sawdust. So, there it is in a taste test. I mean, what really is appealing to all the other processed food that we eat is all the spices and good things that are put into something that is not good for us. And we know that. So we can change the world by going through a plant-based diet, by demanding that there are plant-based restaurants, that there are plant-based sections of everywhere that we go, that people stop selling harmful products that hurt animals, that hurt fish, that hurt cows, that hurt bison. And then there's all these other meats that people sell that are meant to entice people, like frog and ostrich and all these specialty meats where they're killing sentient beings so that you can enjoy, a 5-minute meal and say that those animals gave their life for you. I think that's the biggest fallacy, don't you think? That an animal gives its life for you because you say a prayer and say that, thank you so much for giving your life. That's like people eating people and saying, thank you so much for giving your life. We're going to eat your arm now. It is a ridiculous way to think. And we don't do things the way we've done them 200 years ago. Why would we want to keep doing something that we did a long time ago when we don't need to? And that there are so many healthy options that are different than that kind of eating.
Yeah, let me just blast right through some of these things here. Everybody who knows me or has heard of me knows that I'm a moral theorist, and I speak with 40 years of experience and training and massive conviction about morality. I think what you say is so true. Human beings engage in self-deception all the time. They deceive themselves that somebody else knows best. You know, go out and do your own research. It's okay to listen to others, but in the end, sometimes experts are, they have a financial interest in what they say. And I'll leave it at that for this particular show, but think about leafy greens. Leafy greens have fiber, they have enzymes, they're really good for your digestion, they have iron, spirulina. Most people don't eat spirulina. Spirulina is rich in protein, amino acids, high chlorophyll, which in the high chlorophyll in spirulina removes toxins from your blood. High in iron, if you're a person who has low iron, has 26 times the calcium content of milk. 26. Spirulina, okay? Coconut oil. And I'm just going to read a few. I'm not going to go through lots, but you know, when you start reading, you start really learning. It's the biochemistry that's important. That's really important. Coconut oil has fatty acids. It boosts brain function. It prevents Alzheimer's. It also is an antifungal and an antiviral and an antibacterial. Coconut oil reduces hunger. Now, that's the median chain triglyceride. It actually reduces your hunger and it boosts your energy. So if you want to lose weight, one of the things you would consider is to take a little bit more coconut oil. Turmeric, which I love. I'm so in love with turmeric. Super high in antioxidants, supports memory, promotes heart health, boosts your immune system. You see, that's that immune system booster there. Slows down aging. It's an anti-inflammatory. And most people in this country are inflamed. We have really high inflammation because of our stressful life, number one. So those are cultural, but also because of what we eat. You know, eating meat and dairy means you're participating in violence, and that's bound to keep you in your sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight, limbic response. And we want to get out of that. I see a lot of people who are 70 who look 85, and they could look 50. You can be 50 at 70 if you work it right. Ginger. I love ginger. Ginger is good for green juices. Believe it or not, it's an antibacterial. It calms your nervous system, reduces inflammation, eases acid reflux. A lot of people have acid reflux. It's an anti-ulcerative, so, you know, it cuts down on ulcers. So this is just amazing. Cayenne pepper, I'll just read a couple more. Cayenne pepper stimulates digestion and muscle movement. It helps restore digestive secretions, aids absorption. So that means it helps you get more out of your food, which you actually eat. I love cayenne. It's also a really good pain reliever. And it stimulates the release of mucus, making it a wonderful detoxifier. And so the last one I'll mention for this portion of our show is cinnamon. Cinnamon regulates blood sugar. I love cinnamon. Cinnamon in a smoothie, just too good, just too good. In any kind of a dessert, cinnamon, it reduces LDL cholesterol, reduces the pain of arthritis and menstruation. Again, another antifungal, antibacterial, and antimicrobial, and has loaded with fiber, calcium, iron, and manganese. So, I mean, when you start digging into plant-based eating and you start thinking about all these other additives, right? And so anyway, so we're going to go on and on with this because I realize now that we need to build a new language for young people and old people alike so that they can talk the language of biochemistry because it's about the biochemistry. But let's look at something else. It's not just for you. You know, that's a piece of it, right? It's a piece of it to build strong bodies, strong minds, so we can do good work for the whole. But the other piece of it is about growing local economies, as I mentioned. It's about really looking at where how you participate in an economic cycle, how you can really participate in making your local economy really strong, as strong as it can be. And that means turning off the tap on unhealthy food sources. For example, don't ever eat non-organic vegetables. Just don't do it. If you stop buying non-organic vegetables, they'll stop growing them. Only buy organic. Well, some people will say, well, they're expensive. Well, maybe they're a little more expensive, but how much is your health worth? The number one thing that you should spend money on after you have your housing, whatever your housing is, the number one thing you should spend money on is pure water and healthy plant-based foods in your kitchen. That's it. You start with those two things. Now, the first thing is about healthy design, and that's going to be something we're going to start talking about, you know, in a few weeks as well, especially from the point of view of the Earth Science Design Institute. What is a healthy design? What does that look like? Healthy materials. What does all that look like? But right now we're focused on food. So if you find that you're hungry, you should start thinking about the whole, like your whole plan. When do you feel hungry? Why do you feel hungry? What have you been eating? Americans, and I used to be one of them, have really what I call very addictive, compulsive cycles in life. You'll have a desire, and they want to discharge it. It's drive, based on Freudian drive theory. They'll want to discharge that drive. They'll go get their fix, whether it's to buy something, to eat something, to ingest a psychotropic substance, to look a certain way, to maintain a certain ideology, and it's you get a fix. And that is not equanimity. That is not a state of relaxation in your nervous system. Doing yoga helps you relax your nervous system. Meditating helps you. Contemplating, thinking, sitting down quietly with a cup of tea, contemplating, meditating, doing yoga, walking, if you can walk, you know, some kind of bodily love that you can do to calm yourself and to allow this transcendental parasympathetic faculty to allow you to think about things. We get into the cerebral cortex when we relax ourselves. This is really important. I'm going to say it in 100 different ways. When you eat right, you drink highly filtered water, and you have a plant-based diet from dawn until dusk, and you prepare the food with your own two hands, and you rejoice in being able to drive to get your groceries or to go to a farmer's market to bring them home, to make all that effort to get them into your kitchen, to take them out, to wash them, to give thanks. That's the real gratitude, that you can eat healthy. That super, super amazing gratitude. Now you think about that. You know that you're not participating in violent supply chains. You know that you are no longer going to participate in the violent slaughter of our evolutionary cousins. You stop buying pharmaceutical drugs. You do whatever you can to cut down and rid yourself of them, and instead build a life of diet and supplement that is based upon nonviolent sources that are much as possible local, locally grown to build your local economy, and you eat from the land in which you reside. That's the importance of place. You don't want to buy food that's grown halfway across the world. That's for them. Similarly, we don't want to drink or eat food that came from somebody else's family, a cow's family. We don't want to do that. We say, no, enough. And you get to a point where you create boundaries, which in psychotherapy is critical. You have to define yourself in terms of your values. What you do is who you are. You can deceive yourself, but what you do in your life is who you are. And it's an existential question. You have to figure out who you're going to be, what your epitaph is going to be, what people will say about you, what your permanent legacy is. Oh, that person was a meat eater, participated in violence. That person was a dairy eater. That person had materials of violence in their life. That person didn't care about supply chains and the exploitation of very poor humans and animals who don't want to die. They don't want to die. Just like you wouldn't want your grandchildren to be slaughtered for young meat. And I'll tell you what, they're really sharp artists who are doing these graphic tutorials. You start thinking about what it would be like to sacrifice your grandchildren because they would be tasty on a plate. Then you really start to get what we're doing to others. Now, this whole radio show was based upon the radical other. That's why we started it, and that's why we continue it. This show is about respecting the other, the radical other. We are here on this planet, which is a very small planet, one planet, and everything you do actually really does impact the whole. We can no longer say that it doesn't. Your behavior is never in isolation. So what you do matters. If you want to take a leading role, if you do nothing else in your life, nothing, you will be a very special person if you become a vegan. If you're a Christian person, you will become God's child. If you're a scientist, you will support healthy ecosystems. If you're spiritual and philosophical and scientific and religious, for every reason, if you become totally vegan, 100%, and you make it a life's mission to teach others, you will be a special person just to do that. Now, Nazarita, you had mentioned recently to me, we were talking about feeding the world's population, which is, some scientists are saying it's going to go upwards of 10 billion people. And we already have 2 billion people who are food insecure and starving. It's going to get worse, because what we're doing is we're taking all these plant-based foods and we're inefficiently producing meat and dairy for the rich. The poor don't have much access to meat and dairy. It's sparse. And so just on the economic ground, if you want to crunch the numbers, if you're a economist in Silicon Valley, look at the numbers. We cannot feed a world human population on a meat diet. And if you go out and you have chicken, you go out and have a steak or burger or dairy, you feed your face with your cheese addiction or your yogurt addiction, believe it or not, I can prove to you that you're taking away food from people who live in a third world country. You're taking too much. And this is the problem with countries like the new China or United States. The affluent are taking too much. And they make up all sorts of deceptions about rights and their rights-based distributive justice, and they earned it and it's theirs and it was from their grandpa and they worked hard. And That's all a bunch of BS. It means nothing. What means something is that you give back more than you take. That's another one of my axioms. You give back more than you take. If you take 10 units, you give back 20. That is the only way. That is the only way. So, Nazarita, in our remaining 4 minutes, what do you say? What do we do? Where do we go from here?
Well, I was thinking that there are so many foods and herbs and such that have come and become medicines. You know, digitalis, which is foxglove, a flower actually became a heart medication called digitalis. They've used it for centuries. And, you know, there's now new research on something called spermidine, which is from wheat germ, which increases longevity and actually begins to heal your body. If you look at the way health is set up and you look at the way capitalism is set up, what you see is if you are eating healthy food, which is a plant-based diet, that supports less disease, less cancer, eliminates a lot of those things, makes you more resistant to viruses, and enables you to feed the world. And then you look, and this is the famous quote, right? Follow the money. And if you follow the money and you see the greatest repression of all people is the prevention of health and how people support disease. Our medical care is all supporting dis-ease. And money is supporting dis-ease and ways that they can make more money off of people who remain uninformed. You become a plant-based person, your health is better, and that hurts the healthcare industry. And that hurts capitalism, because capitalism wants to make money from dis-ease. Wants you to buy pharmaceuticals. It wants to take every plant that is available for pharmaceuticals and make them illegal for the general populace. If people want to speak out, this is where to speak out. Government is trying to limit vitamins and supplements so that you won't be healthy, so that you will buy into healthcare, which are pharmaceuticals, which drug makers make a lot of money from, and so do corporate entities. So if people really want to think at what's impeding their freedoms, that this is it. The first step for freedom is eating a plant-based diet. Go against everybody else and eat a plant-based diet.
Absolutely. We have just a minute left. I just want to mention a couple things about glycemic index. So glycemic index tells us how much a food substance causes our blood sugar to rise. And so when we get a spike in blood sugar, we secrete more insulin, right? So if you eat a high glycemic index food, like fructose corn syrup, which has an index of 68, you're going to secrete insulin. So if you do that a lot, you're going to end up secreting insulin a lot more, and then which removes glucose from your bloodstream, right? And that causes a drop in blood sugar. Well, guess what? You feel tired, shaky, you have brain fog, irritability, and then you end up with diabetes. So if you eat a plant-based diet, you don't risk that. Plants have very low glycemic index. Maple syrup has an index of 54. Agave, 30. Stevia, 0. So we're going to continue to explore these. This is just a wonderful topic for me. I am passionate about food and cooking. It is one of the greatest joys of my life. I just want to say that. And thank you to everybody who listens to our show. We'll come back to you next week. Take good care and go out and eat a plant. And don't eat dairy or meat, okay? This is a new relationship. This is Epis Radio signing out. Take care.